If there's one place that has seen rapid change, it's our cities, including the rise of urban populations, innovations in architecture and construction, mass production, mechanisation, through to social pressures and urban decay. And cities, where most of the world's population live, are not surprisingly one of the more enduring subjects in cinema. A film series about the modern city, featuring documentaries, feature films, newsreels and short films, is currently showing at the Art Gallery of New South Wales, in conjunction with the exhibition Sydney Moderns. So I'm joined by the curator, Robert Herbert. Welcome.
Thank you.
Good to have you here. Now, whenever there's an exhibition at the Art Gallery of New South Wales, it's your job, isn't it, to create a film series to accompany this exhibition. So quite a broad period of time here. How did you even begin to approach this subject in film?
First of all, I just familiarised myself with the exhibition. So I spoke to the curator and I just let my imagination flow from there. I just imagined connections between the works and films that I knew and just started to think about what might be the most viable way to approach it.
Mm. This time period, though, between the wars, and we're talking 1915 through to the 1940s, is a very kind of pivotal time when it comes to the creation and the changing nature of a city. What makes it such an interesting time for you in terms of film?
Well, it was a time when we transformed from silent cinema to sound cinema in about 1929, 1930. Then there was the Second World War, which had a major impact on cinema, which things like film noir in US cinema sprung out of the Second World War and the disenchantment, you know, felt by people in during the Second World War. And it was also a time of great urban development where people started to flock to the cities to live. So cinema was the prime entertainment, you know, it was the major way people, cheaper way that people got their entertainment.
So cheaper than going to,
the live theatre.
You go to the pictures or something like that, take your date, go to the pictures,
pay halfpence
or something like that.
That's right.
And at that same time, as things have changed, of course, in the city, as you say, we go and spend more time at the cinema, it's between the wars, there's different things that have taken place. It's the growth of the skyscraper, of course. Filmmakers were also approaching the city in a different way. What were they doing? What were they looking at and how were they looking at the city differently?
Small genre, but a genre of films that was very influential grew up, which were started with films like Man with a Movie Camera, which were called City Symphonies. And these were films where they weren't so much relying on a script and a predetermined dramatic structure to create the film rather than going out and shooting all the different parts of the city and bringing all these sort of components, if you like, back to the cutting room and then assembling them. And through all the tricks of editing and assemblage of film, giving us this incredible impression of the city that was quite new. And in an attempt to show us the excitement of the city, you know, so.
So what was The Man with the Movie Camera? This is, as you say, it's one of those city symphonies, which in itself is a great term.
Yeah.
A really, really important film. What happens in this one?
It's using every cinematic trick in the book and a lot that the director Ziger Vertov invented himself, including split screen and fast and slow motion and radical jumps in time and juxtaposing two different ideas very closely together using the editing techniques. These were all very new things, things that are still used in music videos today. They used these techniques to show a day in the life of Moscow in its heyday in 1927. So it was this impressionistic view of this surging, teeming city in 1927 at Moscow at one of its greatest moments in 20th century history. So it captures Moscow at an incredible time and goes from morning to the workaday world to people at leisure in Moscow and then the nightlife of Moscow in a period of about 80 minutes.
Man with the Movie Camera, Ziger Vertov, which for you was inspired by one particular painting which we can see in this exhibition, a work by the artist Grace Cossington Smith. Tell me about that painting and why that inspired that choice of film.
Well, that was just one that I saw. It's called Rushing, and it's a painting of people sort of surging down a ramp in peak hour to get on board something, probably a train or a tram. And the dynamic surging quality of the painting and the depiction of people rushing to get on transport, and that's both sort of a positive really depiction of the excitement of city life, but it was also a little bit edgy and perhaps showing the city as a little bit of an ominous place, just struck a chord with me. And I was immediately reminded of that film and that whole genre of films that depicted the city in a similar way and were fascinated by the same aspects of the transformation of city life in the 20th century.
Mm. And as you say, when you were talking earlier, Robert, about the new techniques that the filmmakers were discovering at the same time, so this all the modernisation, the mechanisation, the development in the city was being matched or mirrored by film technology as it was improving. Is that right?
Yeah. You know, the way that they approached making these films, it occurred to me yesterday when I was thinking about it, was actually a bit like assembling a machine itself. So they would go out and grab all these components, these visual components, and come back and assemble this new incredible thing from images of the city, which was a bit like the way a machine was constructed. You know, unlike a film that had a predetermined script where it was very carefully, dramatically put together and there wasn't much room for that kind of exploration and innovation.
On By Design, I'm speaking with film curator Robert Herbert, who is the curator of film at the Art Gallery of New South Wales. And we're talking about films that depict the city, films that are made in the city, and films that he's selected as part of a film series that's showing at the Art Gallery of New South Wales for the exhibition Sydney Modern, which looks at a series of paintings by artists that were done between the wars. And we've talked about the city symphonies already, Robert, and some of the technology, I suppose, that has ensued as a result of this particular time period. Obviously, the thing that we see in this exhibition, and let's talk about this for a moment, Robert, is the depiction of the city. So the artists in the exhibition, Grace Cossington-Smith and others, are looking at the city and they're painting the city. And one of the big things that they're painting, of course, is the Harbour Bridge and its development as well. And you have a number of films in this series that also show us what was happening at that time. So as the artists were painting our city and the developments, the films were also depicting these sorts of things as well. But was it the same in a romantic way, or was it a bit different?
I think particularly the newsreels about the construction of the Sydney Harbour Bridge were probably a little more propaganda and a little more scientific. They were really showing the incredible feat of technology that it was being used to build the bridge. And a lot of people were fascinated by how such an enormous structure could be built and cross the harbour. So they were talking about things like that and things like the construction of the Sydney Underground Railway system and those sort of things as great feats of technology, you know, great marvellous feats previously unseen in a city like Sydney.
Mm, and emblems of Australia's progress and
that's
our capacity
right.
to mirror or to be as successful as the rest of the world. But as you say, they were propaganda newsreels, I suppose.
Yeah. In fact, one was called The Progress of Sydney and it was comparing Sydney to, you know, what was really going on in other parts of the world and how Sydney was really keeping up with the rest of the world technologically.
Mm. Let's cut forward to more recent times. And there are a number of films which I wanted to end on, which depict Sydney and the demolition and the destruction, but also the, again, progress of the city. And one of them is a really great film from Philip Noyce from 1981 called Heatwave. Tell me what this shows.
This shows the eternal Sydney dilemma of a visionary building, which is an apartment building, which has been designed by a visionary architect, nothing like it's seen in the world before. It's going to be built in the inner city, requires the destruction of a whole lot of working people's houses, terrace houses. He claims that this is a prototype and the building will mean that poor people and rich people can eventually live like this if this building can go ahead. He's, of course, compromised by the corruption of the developer and by the resistance of the people who live in the houses that are going to be demolished. And the building is eventually the thing that ends up being built is a bastardized version of his
the
vision.
Original idea. And this is actually based on a real story, which is something that I remember hearing about as a child, the case of Juanita Nielsen. Is that right?
That's right. So there's a character in it who is sort of echoes the Juanita Nielsen character. She's an activist. She runs a local newspaper and she's attempting to stop the development of this area. She gets murdered and the Judy Davis character she takes over and tries to find out who's murdered her friend.
It's and that's what happens with the film. And you're pairing this one with a documentary from the same period, which was the Builders Labourers Union essentially getting together and protesting about their working conditions.
Yeah, so that's Rocking the Foundations, a documentary by Pat Fisk, made in 1985. That sort of is a history of the Builders Labourers Federation, but it also very intriguingly documents their efforts to save historical areas of Sydney like the Rocks, Victoria Street in Potts Point, even Centennial Park, places like that with green bands, and the way the union teamed up with activists like the Juanita Nielsen, you know, like Juanita Nielsen, to try and defend people's rights to live, poorer people's rights to live in the inner city and not be pushed out by rich development projects. It's a really fascinating documentary of a period from the 1960s to the 1980s when Sydney was a lot of our sandstone heritage was being demolished and a lot of new developments were being built and the ramifications of that.
It sounds like it must have been a pretty fun and intensive project to come up with a series of films that look at the city and focusing on Sydney and, of course, Australia as well, I must say.
Yeah, really interesting. Of course, when you're putting something together like this, it takes on its own life, just like putting together an exhibition. So you come up with the first idea and then all of a sudden and you start to put together all the elements and suddenly all these ideas and themes start to present themselves. So
tendrils of information and ideas,
right.
Certainly. Robert Herbert, thank you so much for joining me on By Design. Great to chat with you.
Thank you.
And from the Art Gallery of New South Wales, that is Robert Herbert, the curator of film. You can find some links on our website.